As a young man, I had little care for God and certainly no desire to give to God. My life centered myself. I grew up in a church where I never heard the gospel. We were taught to keep the law and hope for heaven in the end. Now, as I grew a little older, I did hear the gospel and how a man of God who came to our home and who told me the way of salvation, who told me that I was a sinner, but that God loved sinners and that Christ had come into this world. He had gone to the cross. He had suffered there a terrible death to pay for my sin, and that God loved me and God wanted to give me salvation. God wanted to pardon me. God wanted to save me from my sin if I would only receive his gift, the Lord Jesus. And as a young man, I just opened my heart and I said, Lord Jesus, I want you for my Savior. And I received God's gift. Now, Paul says, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift, this most wonderful gift of all, the gift of the Lord Jesus. And you know, one of the things that marks the Christian after he's received this wonderful gift, God's gift, the gift of the Lord Jesus, and this gift which gives him also the forgiveness of sins, which makes him a child of God, which brings him into all the wonderful blessings that the Christian has in the Lord Jesus. When this happens to a person, then he in turn wants to give. His life no longer is just a selfish, self-centered life, but he wants to give. This is instinctive for him. It's the very nature of God. And when he receives the Lord Jesus and receives the Holy Spirit in that very act, he receives one who moves in him to encourage him to give. Now, I want to think with you about this matter of giving. And let's think of the method, first of all. Christian giving. First of all, how should we give? And I want to read several verses in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 2. When therefore you do alms, sound not a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward. But when you do alms, that is, when you give gifts, let not thy right left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall recompense thee. The Lord Jesus says here very clearly, as you give, let your giving be done in a secret way. The Pharisees were very fond of giving in a public way, with a big display, so everyone would think, my, how generous. What a wonderful person he is. You know what he gave. Did you see how much he gave to those poor people there? And in this way, the Lord says, they received what they were going after. What do they want? They wanted men to praise them. They wanted men to give them this wonderful place in their thinking as being so righteous, so good, so generous. And the Lord Jesus says they have received what they went after. But he says, as a Christian, when you give in a secret way. Let this be your manner of giving, not to draw attention to yourself. You want to give. You're giving to God. God sees, whether anyone else knows, God sees what you give. And he'll reward you. He'll not forget. But if you're simply doing it in order that people will pat you on the back and say, my, you're generous, and it was so wonderful that you gave this to the church. If this is your motive, the Lord Jesus says you will receive nothing from God. You will have received your reward here. And so often today, I'm afraid in Christian giving even, there can be such a public display, and this is not right. How oftentimes our motives are mixed if we give in such a way. So any public display of giving, any listing of donors, any matter of publicly announcing so-and-so has been so generous and given this, or anything like this, is wrong. When you give, if you put in the offering, no one needs to know, except the treasurer who counts the money, and if you give by check, of course, he'll read the check to know this, but it's to go no further. The giving is to be in secret. How much should we give? And let me turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and read a verse here that has to do with this giving. And I'd like to say also that this verse goes in connection with the matter of how to our spirit of giving as well. Verse 7, 2 Corinthians 9. Let each man do according as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. How should you give? Give secretly, give voluntarily, give generously, give cheerfully, give with joy. If you cannot give to God with a sense of joy, please don't give to him. He doesn't want you to give it grudgingly, with grief, thinking, oh, I wish I could keep this. My, I could use this at home. He wants you to give, if you give, to give with a sense of joy. You're giving to God. He's given so much for you. It's a joy. It's a privilege to give to God. If your spirit is any other, you may as well keep it. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, how much? This scripture says, as he has purposed in his heart. Now, in the Old Testament days, Abraham, as he came back from a battle, set aside 10% of the spoils, the loot that he'd taken in this battle, and he gave it to Melchizedek. Perhaps you remember reading that in the book of Genesis. He gave 10% to Melchizedek, who was the priest of the Most High God. And so here, even before the law was given, you have an example of a man of God setting aside a portion, 10%, to give to God. And then later, of course, the law was given. It required 10%. The Jews were to give 10% of everything that came in. This went to God. Now, today, we are not under the law in the sense that the Jews were. Yet this principle is still true, that our giving should be proportionate. It should be as we decide before God. It should not be something that we're forced to do, absolutely voluntary, but something that you, and if you're married, you and your wife, or you and your husband, decide before God, we want to set aside so much regularly from our income, we want to give this to God. As a man purposes in his heart. And it's to be as God has prospered him. We read in 1 Corinthians 16:2. As God has prospered him. That is, if God has given you much, you can give much more. Verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 16, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store as he may prosper, that no collections be made when I come. He's writing here instructions to them, and they're giving for this particular need that we're going to give to these needy Christians in another area. And so he says now, the first day of the week, as each of you has been prospered, you put aside and you give to God. So it's to be proportionate. And many Christians say, well, 10%, if this was required in the Old Testament, surely I can give that, at least to begin with. And some go on even to give more, because when you start giving, it's a joyful thing to give, isn't it? A privilege to give. The giving person, the giving Christian, is the happy Christian. And so as we begin with a certain percentage, and as the Lord gives you joy in this giving, as time goes on, you may very well say, well, we want to give more. And I'm sure if you do it because of love for him, it delights his heart. To whom should we give? Well, in the early church, they gave to the poor. Many of their collections then were for the poor. Now, today, we do have welfare, we have Social Security, we have old age benefits, and still, in a local congregation, a local church, if there are special needs, it's a good thing for Christians to be concerned to help those that are needy. We give to the other needs of the local church. We give to missionaries. We give to home workers. Give, he says, as the Lord has prospered you. Now, this matter of giving is a lasting investment. Don't view giving as a loss. View it as an investment, the best investment you can make. Oh, but you say, it's gone, I don't have it anymore. Oh, if you've given it to the Lord, You have it, and you have it forever. Let me read to you in Matthew 6. The words of the Lord Jesus himself, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, destroy, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, where thieves do not break through nor steal. You give to God, God credits it to your account in heaven. You have treasure in heaven. It's yours forever. If the bank should fail down here, you've lost it. If you've invested it in things here and there's a depression, you may lose it. But if you give to God and give generously and give because you love him, you have it forever in heaven to your credit. And so he says, this is treasure in heaven. Live generously for God. This is the message, isn't it? I remember hearing of a man who had spent a large part of his life amassing an art collection. He traveled throughout the world, and he had this wonderful art collection. And then a fire swept through the area, and he heard the news that his home was endangered, and he hurried back, and he got there in time to stand on a neighboring hill and to watch his beautiful home and his priceless art collection going up in smoke. I imagine the man must have stood there and wept as he thought of the hours, the labor, the thousands and thousands of dollars that were gone, destroyed just in a few moments. Oh, the Lord Jesus says everything you have here is in danger, really, in jeopardy. It's not sure. But if you live a life of giving for God, if you invest your income, and oh, the needs there are throughout the world, the needs here in the homeland, in the Lord's work, and in foreign lands as well, if you give, and you give to God, the Lord Jesus says, it's laid up in heaven. It's safe forever. Maybe you might ask, well, how do you know if a man is generous? Well, the Lord Jesus would say, we know how generous we are, and we can check ourselves out on this, by how much we keep for ourselves. He watched a widow throwing in two mites, two small coins, less than a penny today. He said she's given more than the rich men who were throwing in hundreds of dollars into the treasury. Why? She gave everything that she had. She had nothing left. A poor widow giving two of the smallest coins. The Lord Jesus says she's given more than the rest. Why? Because she had nothing left for herself. So our generosity is determined really by how much we keep for ourselves. May we be generous Christians giving to the work of God.